Timory Millington has been a passionate advocate for life as long as she can remember. Even with a busy speaking and radio schedule, she finds time to devote to her creative love of dance. Don Johnson is an author, speaker, and major motion picture film producer. Both hold master's degrees in theology, and together they cover the week's hottest stories from a Catholic worldview.
Catholic worldview.
From the Southern California studios of Relevant Radio,
you're listening to
Trending with Donna Timory.
There is this piece I read over Christmas time, Dawn, by Matt Walsh, and it was talking about the most effective way to destroy essentially your marriage and in many ways to drive your husband away. And as I read the piece, it just was vibrating with truth, but also I think it was very provocative. Just introduced our Facebook Live video. For anyone who's listening on the radio on your drive right now, please check out our Facebook Live videos because we actually do other shows that are produced in other parts of the country. And so you're missing some of the content that we end up sharing on air, but you can catch there on Facebook. But you introduced this piece as provocative. And I think because the vast majority of women today have grown up with either a lack of respect for men, whether within their home or outside of the home, or with a lack of men in their lives to begin with while they're being brought up.
We want to be very careful with this topic. The headline did catch my eye as well, and it was the most effective way to destroy your husband, ruin your marriage, and encourage infidelity. And we want to be careful with it because sometimes when men talk about what women can do differently, already people are tuned out. They're like, you know what? You just mind your own business and don't talk to us women. And on one hand, I understand that, right? I'm always somewhat hesitant to say, as a man, this is what I want, right? Because it sounds selfish. However, the points that Matt Walsh make are, in fact, absolutely verifiably true. And as a man, I can attest that this is indeed what men want. And here's his argument in a nutshell. Women, if you do not respect your husband, you are encouraging him, basically, to not love you, for one thing. And that's not an excuse. Of course, the man needs to continue to love no matter what treatment he's getting from the woman. But if you are looking to discourage your husband, drive him away, all of these other things, if you want to grow a rift in your relationship, disrespect him. That will do it. And on one hand, I mean, shouldn't that be common sense? But I, on the other hand, given our culture and given 50 years now of the woman's movement, I understand where respect your husband is not something high on women's list, unfortunately.
Well, it's something that you promised to your husband when you said your vows. It's something that you promised that's really a right of your spouse to expect of you, just like the expectation that a husband will love his wife, right, and respect her in that way. A woman will love her husband in the respect that she shows him. And so I think that as we break down some of Matt Walsh's argument, we'll see that this is actually quite reasonable and is fundamental in many ways to the nature of men and the nature of marriage.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about what women might do that is not respecting. Belittle their husband, cut him down, nitpick him relentlessly, hold back your affection, both physical and emotional, sort of as a ransom, nag him, criticize him, humiliate him in public. That's a big one. I don't know if women understand this. Men hate to be denigrated in public.
Even in small ways.
Anyway.
You know, one of the things that I've come to understand, even not even just to the point of being criticized, but am I right in asking this? Even maybe telling a funny story about that person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully you have a sense of humor and you're humble enough to accept the funny story. But if it depends how it's being told and it depends what story it is. I mean, if it's not for public consumption and you are sort of making fun of the guy, no, don't tell the story.
Right. Yeah, right. You know, and I think that just the idea of not humiliating a man publicly and not even telling public stories is all of a sudden a wake up call for us women that there's something to this. Men have this innate desire, a deep desire to be respected. And I think women might automatically jump in and say, oh, and I don't want to focus on this side of it because this is about how we as women treat men. It's not about the hypocrisy of what men do. So if you're starting to get upset, I'm asking you to hear it for what it is, which I think can be sometimes a little difficult. This is about what men are seeking in many ways in a relationship. They're not seeking to domineer, dominate, to be a tyrant. They're just requesting something, and that is the respect you show them and how you interact.
So let's get one thing out of the way right up front. I think most women today respond to what we have said so far by saying, I'll respect my husband when he earns it. Right? When he does...
Smacking the head.
But think about it, right? They're like, no. When you live up to my standards, when you do the things that I think you should do, when you're the kind of man that I expect you to be, then you'll get my respect. And here's the thing, ladies, that never works. That's never going to happen. The more, and I don't know, is this a thing? Because I've talked about this with many women, and most women that I've talked to say, in fact, it is a thing. Somehow women have it in their heads that they have the ability to change their man into who they want. And here's the thing, Timmy, here's the thing. They can do that by just pestering him enough. Like, if I nag and pester him enough, he will change and everything will be all right. That, I mean, are you taught that at some level? Like, where do they get that idea?
No, I absolutely think that this is something that women believe. I've seen it, you know, it's something that naturally you think, it's this idea of missionary dating in some ways of I can go in, whether it's for his good or for my good or what I want, that I can change him. And when a woman understands, I should, and this is really important, I should enter into this relationship accepting and loving him for who he is today. Doesn't mean you don't challenge him to be a better man by the way you live your life, the things you talk about, the things you do together.
And it doesn't mean you don't expect him to live righteously.
Right.
Right. Of course.
But
it's not like you're,
right,
oh, I'm okay with his porn use or whatever. Right. No, that's not what we're saying.
You can't go into the relationship being like, well, I really dislike what he does this. If he fixes this, one day, you know, things are going to be really good. And I'm going to keep working on him until then.
Right.
You should be dating a person that is someone you could marry today. Not that they're going to, you're still going to get to know them, but the purpose of dating is oriented toward a marriage. And while there are going to be flaws on both sides, always, you have to find yourself being sacrificial in the flaws that that person is automatically going to have.
Yeah, everybody's going to have flaws. This is something we talked about last week, I think it was, where there is sort of an idea in the culture that, well, I'm not willing to get married to anyone unless they line up with every one of my desires, and that's why it's so hard, right, to find somebody, because, well, I mean, they've got a few flaws. No, everybody's going to have flaws, and your attitude has to be, as long as it's not like a sin thing, right?
Right.
Like, no, don't accept the porn. I want to keep throwing that in there. But the way they act that you don't like necessarily, but that's not some sort of moral failing. Mm-hmm. Yes, it may be on you just to accept that.
But that's really hard, I think, for women. We sometimes are so, because we're so people-oriented, we want what's best for them. And so in the attempt to love them, we end up trying to be their mother when they were 5 years old. And that's a huge mistake on our part. We are called to mother our children that we have, but we're not called to mother our spouse, our significant other. Because otherwise what happens is a lot of women have turned their relationships into a, basically, like, you do something good, I reward you with my respect, with my love. Until you don't, I don't respect you. But that is not unconditional love. And within the marriage, we're supposed to be reflecting the life-giving, self-giving love of God that shows that I will love you unconditionally. There may be things that you do that do have ramifications, but that being said, I never withhold my respect for you within that context.
Yeah, Matt Walsh brings up a good point. He says, how would you like it if the husband said that the wife needs to earn her husband's love? That a wife ought to respect her husband just because, but that he's only going to love her when she does certain things, right? Hopefully we understand, well, that's terrible. That's not how that should work. Of course it isn't. But again, the other way around is the same too, right? Does a husband deserve your mocking, your berating, your belittling? No, right? You have to say, regardless, I'm not going to do that. I talked to someone just recently. Oh, no, it was an article I read, actually, where a woman had changed her entire marriage. She's like, I can't believe what an amazing difference this has made in my relationship with my husband. And here's the one thing she did. She says, when he gets home, I smile at him. Like, that was it, literally. Like, no, I made a decision that every time my husband gets home from work, I'm going to smile at him. Instead of listing all of the things that went wrong with my day and listing all the things that he needed to get done before bed and, oh, here's the kids, you know, like, instead of all that stuff that I normally did, you know, I just smiled at him. And she's like, it's amazing what a difference this has made. And you think, well, what, you know what? I've been the guy who comes home and thankfully my wife does smile at me, but it is such when something has gone wrong and you enter the house, your whole life, whole frame of reference shifts. And as a man, here's what you want to do. You want to lay down your life for that woman. If when you walk in the door, she smiles, you are more than willing to say whatever you want, honey, let me do whatever it is you need to do. But it's not because you nagged. It's because I love you and you're respecting me. And there's a big difference there. And it's amazing how just a little smile, like, I'll try to find that article. Maybe we can throw it up on Twitter just recently. But she says, just this one little change that I made. But I think it comes down to what's your attitude towards your husband? One of support and respect, or one of you need to do something to earn whatever I'm going to give you later on? And no,
it's you need to change in order to be worthy of me. And if that's an attitude you have, let's talk about this. This is a trending topic in our lives that we struggle with daily.
Timmery and Don will be right back. Tweet them at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. And at Don Johnson Media. From the Southern California studios of Relevant Radio, you're listening to Trending. Trending. With Don and Timmery, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
Coming back to this piece that is so provocative, and I am going to say fantastic, because it challenges us as women in our male-female dynamics to really show love through the way we respect the men in our lives. And so I want to start by sharing Facebook Live by Jim, a piece that he put up. He said, a former coworker of mine has a wife that often posts very positive and affirming things about her husband. So few women do anything like that, and he is a fortunate man. I never see her share anything negative about him.
One of the key principles to all this is that, contrary to what you might think as a woman, this is what's actually going to get your husband to change the way you want him to change, right? Like, there may be aspects of him that you want to be better. Absolutely. We've all got areas in our lives where we need to grow. Men, the way we are wired, we are much more inclined to grow and be better men when we are respected than when we are not. I have never heard of a guy who was nagged into being a better guy. I've never been inclined myself to want to change to be a better person by someone who has just like, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. Never, it's never happened. But you know, when I am encouraged and when I am motivated to like, yes, I'll run through that brick wall for you, it's when people love and respect and encourage you. And in this piece that we've been talking about by Matt Walsh, I think it's a great piece. Of course, we'll tweet it out. He quotes G.K. Chesterton, who said that the great lesson of Beauty and the Beast is that a thing must be loved before it is lovable. And Walsh adds that in a man, he must be respected before he is respectable. And I think the idea there is that you grow to be a more respectable man as you are respected by people. And again, this is real respect. This is not like, you know, shoe licking. This is not like having a yes person by you saying, oh, what a great person you are. No, we know who the yes people are, right? Oh, I've got money, so you're telling me this about... No. But actual respect, where people are positive and encouraging and finding the things that you do well, that makes you want to be better. And I think that's sort of the key underlying principle here, is that as a woman, if you're out there wondering, how can I, you know, make my man better? be respectful to him.
You know, and this, I have to say, Don, for me, really stood out when he said that, where you have to be respected in order to be respectable. And how for him, and I'm not sure if it's in this piece or another piece that I read a while back from him, because he has another piece about respect within marriage that he wrote a few years ago. And this one is just even deeper. And you see what he himself has learned through his marriage over the years. He talks about how, you know, a lot of men often make mistakes early on in marriage, and how they're a different man today than they were before. And maybe you're someone who says, man, you know, I'm still disappointed in the man that I am, and I'm married to him X so many years later. But what he talks about is, because of the respect that his wife continued to show him, because she continued to look to him and encourage him, not nag him, he stepped up to the plate and learned to step up to the plate. And even when I think he said at one point, I had no idea what I was doing, because she looked at me in that way, because she respected me as such, I figured it out. Now, this wasn't done because a couple of times she decided to change her way of nagging him. It was because she continuously saw the importance of respecting the man in her life.
Yeah, I think if you look at men who commit adultery, and you might think, oh, they're just a bunch of, I'm trying to think of what a word would be.
Pigs. Just,
yeah, well, of course they are. I get it. Of course they are. Pig is too good a word for it. However, when we look at those situations, I think almost inevitably, what you will find is that men, not the guys who are just out for pleasure with women who, if you're just cheating for sex, but I actually don't know that that's generally the case, especially with people who've been married a while. What they're actually after, and what actually makes them leave their wives, is they found some woman who has that look in her eye when he walks into the room, right? Like, but I think what they're actually getting from those women, they think, is respect and honor. And she actually is sort of into me. She's interested in what I do at work or whatever, right? Like, and that's what's appealing. That's where you get the adultery situations. That's what makes men want to leave their wives who they've been married for 20 years. Like, what are you, what? How is that possible? Well, you know what? What is the, and again, I'm not blaming the wife. I'm just saying, what's the man after in those situations? It's probably not the sex. However, although, as Matt points out there, if the woman is withholding sex because she's punishing the guy for some reason, or because of a lack of respect, which can be indicative. I think that does happen in relationships, where not only am I not going to smile at you when you get home because you didn't take out the trash this morning or whatever, you're also not getting any tonight when we go, right? I think that is indicative. And that, again, that's got to stop.
Well, and I'm going to add the church's teaching in here on this. Together, the spouses have a right, because you have become one flesh within the sacrament. Intimately, there's a right to the conjugal act between the two. And now, of course, you can't force the other person. That's important. But that's a right that your spouse has of you and the one of the other. And I think that that's really important, because part of the reason the church talks about this, and I don't think it's spoken of enough, is that you have unconditional love at the heart of the situation. God created sex for the union of male and female, and even just in the act of human sexuality, the union that takes place between the two is important and necessary for growing that relationship.
Yeah, it's part of the total gift of self that is supposed to take place in a relationship, right? That if you are withholding part of yourself, that it's not true love. You know, that's the contraceptive problem also, by the way, is that you're withholding part of yourself, right? But yes, it's very scriptural. Church teaching is very straightforward on this, that husbands and wives should not, unless you are for a time of prayer or whatever, or for other reasons, but in general, you should not withhold sex from each other. And yeah, it's part of a healthy marriage. And so, I go back to that smiling thing. I think if you have been fixated all day on the fact that your husband didn't take out the trash. And I know this happens. You think that's such a small thing, or he didn't put his toothbrush away the right way this morning or whatever. And you're going to punish him for that when he gets home. No, that's got to change. Should he put his toothbrush? Yes. Should he pick up the socks? Yes. All those things. But I just think he's going to be more inclined to do that stuff if you are positive.
Right.
If you're respectful.
Well, and here's, you know, a piece of feedback for me personally. I know that I can be a very critical person. Right. I can be a very critical person, both of myself. I think it starts with criticism, self-criticism, and of others. And so one of the things that I personally have to do is I have to remember to be grateful for the things that are in my life so that I don't focus on, well, you could do this better, Timory, like constantly telling myself I can do this better. And, you know, maybe for personalities out there, you struggle with being critical and you sit there and you dwell on something that you want to criticize someone for. That's unhealthy. That's not psychologically healthy. There's something wrong when we end up orienting ourselves in this way. So maybe what you do instead, you know that you're building up, you're ready to criticize about something. Instead, hold it back. Compliment in some other area. Think of the good area in your life, the good that that person's done, even if you don't want to acknowledge it. Find it, even if it's something small, and compliment it instead. You're retraining the way your brain works when you see that person for the first time to smile instead, to give a little compliment that then changes and prevents you from being critical immediately. And that is a true self-sacrifice.
It is. It's called love. And psychologically, this is huge. This, if you could just do that in your relationship, I know I've shared this before on the air, but one of the things I refuse to do, because sometimes people will ask, but one of the things I refuse to do is pick one thing that I would like to change about my wife. Because this is, I don't know, it's some sort of psychological thing that people do sometimes. And it, like, this is going to help your couples, you know, your marriage. Just pick one thing about each other that you could fix. And I'm like, no, sorry. Are there things? I don't know. Probably. But probably. I'm not going to. No. Frankly, I got so many other things in life that I got to worry about. I am not going to find some nitpicky thing about my wife that I want to change. I will indeed, like you said, and this is a struggle sometimes. I get it. But if you want to be at all healthy in your relationship, think back to all of the times your wife, this is for you guys out there, think back to all of the times your wife has been gracious and patient and kind with you. And my wife has been that a lot with me. I mean, I've put this woman through, I mean, I can't believe all the gracious and good things she's done over the years, right? Focus on those. And then if you really want to, you know, go think about that nitpicky thing you want to, please, please. I mean, give me a break. You go keep changing yourself for one thing and focus on the positive about your mate. If both of the people in the relationship did those two things, focused on what can I change about myself to make myself better and what can I praise my spouse for? Wow. Where do you think your relationship's going to go?
Well, and look at the beauty of that. And unfortunately, bad company enjoys bad company. But here we're saying, here, praise your spouse, even though other people may not be doing it. So we'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back.
Timory and Don will be right back. Tweet them at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. And at Don Johnson Media. This is Trending with Don and Timory on Relevant Radio. To learn more about Don Johnson or Timory Millington, or to book either of them to speak, visit donjohnsonministries.org or timory.com. And be sure to share and rate the podcast of the show on iTunes.
We've been talking the show about how to have healthy relationships and not ruin the relationships you are in, especially your marriage. If you want some resources for that, whether you're married or not, may I recommend two magazines, Radiant and Valiant. They are published by our Sunday Visitor, and you can find them at radiant.osv.com or valiant.osv.com. One's for men, one's for women, and just chock full of relationship advice, wisdom of the ages, strong Orthodox Catholic teaching applied to your life where you're at today. So please go check that out. They're a great friend of the show. Timory, we've been talking about this article by Matt Walsh about how to destroy your marriage and alienate your husband and encourage infidelity. That was the headline. And he comes down on the side of basically this. Wives, respect your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. That's St. Paul, by the way. That's just scripture.
Ephesians chapter 5.
There you go. But it's so true, and it's so downplayed in our culture today that a woman would respect someone who's not worthy, who hasn't fit exactly into their parameters. Well, no. If you want a healthy relationship and your husband to love you. Now, the husbands, no, let me not let husbands off the hook here. Whether or not you're respected, you need to keep loving your wife. Bottom line, whether or not she smiles when you get home, you need to keep loving her. Be careful not to succumb to the notion that, well, I'm going to withhold my love until she respects me.
But you know what? I feel like most of the time men aren't like that as much so. I think it happens, and I know it does,
yeah,
but usually...
I hope that's true.
It usually happens, though, after repetitive behavior on both sides in a circumstance that they both have created. You know, and that's where, you know, I think that continuing to recognize... And we're going to bring this up in a piece a little later where we talk about how some of the studies are showing that men are preferring bromances to romantic relationships. And I think that that ties into part of that because men are sometimes a little bit more easygoing about things versus we women have a tendency to dwell on something and not allow ourselves to get past it. And that's something that we can work on.
You know, that's true. The whole stereotype about the woman being angry at the man and the man having no idea why. That's actually true. You know, that's actually true because women are much more in tune with a whole lot of things that men have. We were talking about it. We won't even have to share the example, but this just happened with me and Timory. She's like, hey, just wanted to make sure that, you know, you're aware I didn't mean any offense by whatever it was. And it was nothing. And I'm like, Timory, I could have lived 1,000 years, 1,000 years, and I never would have noticed that because I'm a guy. I don't know. Of course I didn't take offense. I have no idea that it was even happening. But this is right. Maybe the guy did offend the woman. But he didn't know that. And now she's right. Held it against him and she's been stewing on it all day. And he comes home and she's like, you know, no, literally,
he's
he
like,
does,
I don't
he
know.
He literally does not. Maybe he should be more. I mean, I get it. Maybe we should be more attuned to some of these things. But when your guy says, I don't know, he probably is telling the truth.
This is great. Well, so here's one of the things that I think is really important to this whole conversation that Matt Walsh talks about. And that is that the man should really come into his masculinity. He should feel more like a man when he's at home rather than at work. But unfortunately, a lot of men today feel more respected at work because, oh, good job on that deal or whatever you did. And then they come home to being pestered. And so that creates this desire almost to remain at work rather than being home with his wife and children where he should feel the most comfortable.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You think, well, how can you spend, you know, enjoy spending time in the office? Well, men do enjoy their work, but only to the extent that they feel like they are doing something important and that they're respected for it. So you're absolutely right. I'm a guy. I'm a task-oriented individual. I love doing projects, but only those that you think are actually making a difference. And how do you know they're making a difference? Because somebody somewhere is saying, hey, good job. You know what? That really helped. And you get the respect. So, yeah, you're absolutely right, Timory.
Another piece I'd love to hear, you know, we are basically breeding women who have no respect for men today. They're not learning it in their major forms of media and academia, and they're certainly often not learning respect within the home. How do we rebuild this attitude of respect that I think is really going to help in the long term with relationships, male-female relationships, and just our own self-worth? Because sometimes I think people lose this idea of their own self-worth when they're so busy criticizing other people.
Yeah, well, and is part of it, I'm going to throw this out there as a question, is part of it that women have been told for so long that they don't need a man, that I, on my own, can do every single role, can provide for myself in every single way, that to think that I needed a man in my life is lowering myself. And so, to a man, what that comes across as is, well, you don't need me. And if you don't need me, I feel disrespected. I know
right.
that, right? And it's not that the man needs to... I don't need to think that you're going to die if I'm not there, right? It's not like, oh, okay, you poor little baby that I need. No, but I need to think that I'm providing something to your life. Mm-hmm. Whereas modern feminism has taught women that no, those men actually don't provide anything to you. Like you don't need them for money. You don't need them for babies. You don't need them for anything. To a man, that doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound attractive. Men need to be needed. And I think It's okay. Starting out just with that premise, that it's okay to admit that as a woman, men actually provide me something, even if it's just companionship, even if it's just a father for my kids, just as if that's just a thing. But guess what? You do need that. Mm-hmm. That if you don't have the father there, you're missing something. Men are happy to fill that role, but they need to have that understanding that I'm here because I'm needed to be here. So I think that's part of it, not the whole story, but part of it would just be from a woman's perspective, realizing that, you know what, you're not superwoman. That,
yes,
right? Like,
yes.
You can't just do everything for yourself, that there might be something out there that a man could provide.
Well, and you know what? Here's the deal. We live in a culture that promotes abortion on a daily basis, right? And I see so many people who are pro-life advocating for the right of the unborn child. But what about when that child grows up to be a good, bad, ugly, whatever type of man or woman they are, right? Do we still hold to that same attitude of respect and dignity of that human life? Because we talk about the respect of the human life for the unborn. What about within the home, even when that is most challenging? And I think that that's where it radically pushes our pro-life view, our view of humanity and its inherent worth, to see that that inherent worth still applies when there's a sinner right in front of you, right?
That's really good. I think that's a great point. Like, ask yourself the question, what is best for the dignity of whoever this person is? I think you could apply that across the board, actually. So
right.
To husbands, what's best for the dignity of a husband? Because he's a person made in the image of God. Or to the child, what's best for the dignity of the one that's already been born? Like the two-year-old, what's best for the dignity of the two-year-old or the seven-year-old or the 15-year-old? And at each stage, what's best for them is to fulfill the God-given position in life that they have been created for. And you know what that is? That's family. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the bottom line, I think maybe that's part of the problem here, is that women have been told that they don't actually need to be part of a family.
Right.
And so we have destroyed a generation or two now of boys and men. And again, I don't mean to blame women for all of this, but a lot of the ideology behind this is that, no, you don't need families. Mm-hmm. No, you don't need to be a wife or a mother or any of those things to be happy. You don't need to have a husband to be happy. Now, does that mean everybody has to get married? No, we're not saying that. Mm-hmm. Let's throw that out there. But in general, to live the life that God called you to live, guess what? You get married and you have a family. That's what most people are called to by God.
Right? Yeah. Marriage is a natural vocation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's so beautiful in many ways. And if we look at it as well, you know, women have more of a natural tendency to being a parent, to maternity. You know, it's ingrained partially in their body. The biochemical makeup of their body and the health of it can be judged based on its ability to ovulate, essentially. It doesn't mean that every woman's going to have children, but ingrained inside her, from our biochemical makeup, is our ability to have children. And not only just have children, but to carry and feed children. And that's why on an intellectual mindset as well, women have a stronger tendency to understand how it is to be a mother. Men, in a lot of the studies, it's required that the woman and the child be present to help the man come to understand his role as a father. Not that he's not capable of being a good father, but to help him understand he's needed. He's a part of this.
This is something we talk about in the new movie quite a bit, actually. And that is that we were made for love. That's the meaning of life. Everyone was made for love because God is love and we're made in the image of God. Women have a very distinctive and indeed higher level, I think, of love. Women are made for mothering love. Whether or not you actually have babies, like most women I think are called to have babies, but not necessarily, but you're still called to be a mother in the sense that you offer life nurturing love to others, that you give of yourself in a sacrificial way to other people, whether it's your biological child or your friend next door. Either way, you offer that mothering love, and women can do it in a very unique way that men can't, and we have denied that for a long time. I think this is what you're saying. When you do that, what happens is you increase in happiness and joy in general. And men, when they get to provide their role in all of that, they become better people as well. So you're right. I think that whole family structure that has been decimated over the past several decades has resulted in a lot of discouragement. Men, women, children,
everyone.
Timmery and Don will be right back. Tweet them at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. And at Don Johnson Media. From the Southern California studios of Relevant Radio, you're listening to Trending with Don and Timmery, applying timeless principles to today's hottest topics.
Men are more satisfied by bromances than their romantic relationships, a new study says. You know, I was sharing during the break, growing up in Canada on a farm, you know, very stoic culture where men were not expected to share their feelings. And it's not that we didn't have friendships, I don't think, but we didn't have the kind of friendships necessarily that are sort of more common today that I'm finding among the young people that I work with, young males especially, that they seem like they're much more open to sharing with their friends. And as I read this story, yeah, I'm like, yes, that does seem to be the case. So the study, admittedly, it's not like a wide-ranging study. They studied a bunch of college-age, mostly white, sports-oriented males.
Right.
And they found that these males get a lot more of, what shall we say, relational satisfaction in the sense of communicating my inner self, shall we say, with their male friends than they do with female ones. What's your take on this, Timmery?
You know, I think that first and foremost, it's unfortunate that we're having to compare male and female friendships when I think that we've, in many respects, more so probably among married men, I think maintaining male friendships has been something somewhat of a difficulty when male friendships are so fundamental. They challenge men, hopefully, if they're good friendships, to be better men. Their male friend should be involved in their home life every now and again so that they can see, hey, if you're maybe talking to your kid and being a little snippy with him, or maybe, you know, helping you to see what you might be missing in your interaction with your wife. That's part of what's so great, in addition to just good, healthy bonding and male competition within a loving friendship context. That being said, you know, the fact that men in some ways are turning to and preferring these bromances, it's a triggering word for you today, Don.
Yeah,
but all right. The fact that they're preferring that, I think, is a sign of the time, the sign of the criticism that we see within the context of male and female relationships. It's the thought that, you know, men just aren't necessary. The fact that I think a lot of men are also at some points in this perpetual adolescence as well, that they're just off having a good time, perpetually just enjoying life and not taking responsibility for life. And so while we've kind of talked a lot about the way women can do more, men, you know, Don, you say this often, you talk about being marriageable men that you can marry. Men today, I think, don't take on that mindset. Not that you're going to get married tomorrow, but early on, how can you prepare and make wise choices, mature choices that makes you a man worthy to be married?
Yeah, I think that's the key to this whole thing. It's not so much that we're seeing, you know, stronger male friendships than we have in the past.
Right.
I think when they describe their bromances, it seems like it's just looking to me like the characteristics are just good male friends that we would have said in the past. Yeah, that's a good buddy of mine. We share insights into our lives, you know, whatever. Like, all right, that doesn't seem wrong. What's distinctive about this study or this new trend in bromances is that they don't have a female in their life, a romantic partner that they do those things with, mm-hmm. that they share some of these inner things. That's the key. None of these guys in this study were married. Mm-hmm. And most of them, it seemed like, from what I could surmise, most of them were having sex with at least some females, right?
Right.
Well, guess what? Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Women who you're not married to or you're having sex with are not your friends. They're not people that you're going to share intimate details of your life with. They are sex objects. That's what they are. And men are not going to share their lives with those kind of women.
And they'll never respect you because from the beginning, you've defined the relationship as a relationship of how I can objectify you and you can objectify me for your own needs and pleasure, even if it's emotional.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, and maybe this is for women mostly, but men, okay, men, if you actually want strong relationships, and here's the thing, you talk about marriable people, men aren't looking to marry those women that they're sleeping with. Mm-hmm. In fact, this is on both sides, both sexes, the people you want to marry, those are the ones you're probably not going to sleep with, right? In fact, the hookup culture on campus, I'll actually like that person. Oh, no, we're not going to hook up then. We're going to try to actually build a relationship. Down the road, if we're going to get married, no, I'm not going to bed with you. Those people that you are hooking up with are not the ones you respect. They're not the ones you're sharing intimate stuff with your life. You're not friends. And so to me, what we're seeing here with this the rise of the bromance is just another symptom of what we've been talking about all show, the lowering of marital relationships, the lowering of marriage in general, that we don't understand what it takes. Well, we don't value marriage in general, and then we certainly don't understand what it takes to have a good one. What would it take to have a good marriage? Well, first of all, you have to have two people who are marriable. What does it mean to be marriable? Well, for one thing, you haven't been going around having cheap sex with a whole bunch of other people before you got to the marrying stage, right? Like, you have to be a trustworthy person who's not out there just giving yourself away to everyone who walks down the street. That's one. That's just one aspect of it, but it's a big one. And so, you know, the more we've had the cheap sex, the less marriable we all become, the less intimate relationships on a good sense, like you and I sharing our lives together, have. And so what's left? Bromances. I mean, that's
right. Naturally.
You go down that road, you're going to be left with bromances. It's I don't know that there's a whole lot of mystery to that, but they, you know, nowhere in this article did they relate the fact that all of these men were having sex with these girls who they're not friends with to the fact that they preferred the bromance. Of course they did.
Right. And I think that entering into the friendship zone that men have here and how much they're enjoying and appreciating those friendships, take it a step further. There's nothing wrong with those friendships, but taking it a step further, have responsibility for yourself within that friendship. How are you influencing the other person to be a better man? And unfortunately, in a lot of those friendships, it's just a matter of living life where we're at and living one day at a time. There's nothing wrong with living one day at a time if you live it correctly and within the eyes of faith, right? And I think that that's what's important.
Yeah, I stand corrected because part of, in this article, you know, I just said they didn't talk about the sexual relationships they were having. In fact, there is a paragraph about this. The rise of the bromance is not necessarily socially positive for women, they say. Men in the study sometimes referred to their girlfriends using sexist or disdainful language and demonstrated an us and them mentality that suggested allegiance to their bros over their romantic partners. One of the things here, it starts with understanding that your male friendship is distinctive from a romance. That's one of the reasons I don't like the bromance thing. Well, no, male friendship is not romance. Romance is male-female, and there's an intimacy there that's not possible between two males. We've talked about this on several other occasions, in talking about homosexuality in particular. How they're looking for friendship, but a particular kind of friendship that's actually not possible between two males. There is a male-male friendship that is possible that's not possible between a male and female. Two distinct things. You could call one eros and another...
philia, brotherly love.
Yeah, brotherly love, right? You can talk about that. But knowing that there's a distinction between the two and that to successfully navigate each of those, to have good romantic relationships and have good friendships requires different things of those. And so on one hand, they're sort of comparing apples and oranges in that they are saying, well, which do you prefer? Well, it's not a matter of which should I prefer. I should have good male friendships and I should have good romantic relationships.
They're totally different things. And I think that that's important. Well, you can take general principles to both of them, right? They're totally different things that play important roles in our lives. Whether you're single, married, dating, whatever it might be, whether you're a priest or religious, even in those vocations, we need good friendships too. Yeah, I remember in college, one of the priests, Father Timon, used to often talk about how we need friends that will laugh at us, that will humble us, We need friends that will challenge us and sit down one-on-one, face-to-face. And not that they tell us that we're doing something wrong, but they're willing to say the hard and difficult things to us. We also need people who are going to stand side-by-side with us in difficult cases. And, you know, he goes down kind of the different types of friendships you need, and some of them might not be with the same person.
Right.
And, you know, you look at some of the different philosophers and what they have to say, and they talk about how, you know, the friendship of virtue is the best friendship, because ultimately you are willing the good of the other and placing the good of that other person before your desire for intimacy, desire for love, but you're truly wanting what is best for the other.
As we conclude today, let me remind you that we are a listener-supported program, and so if you would like to make a tax-deductible donation to keep us on the air, you could do that at donjohnsonministries.org or go to trendingdt.com, and you'll see a link there to the donate button. Don't forget, we are still raising money for Unprotected, the film, and you can invite Timory and I to speak all through 2018. We'll see you next time.
From the studios of Relevant Radio,
this has been Trending with Don and Timory.
Trending.
To learn more about Don Johnson or Timory Millington, or to book either of them to speak, visit donjohnsonministries.org or timory.com. And be sure to share and rate the podcast of the show on iTunes.